We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The flagship station for your Boston Red Sox.
Sports Radio 93.7, WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
This hour of Ken and Curtis brought to you by Ahern Equipment in Spencer, Mass.
You know them from the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Ken and others
are acting like straight bitches.
I'm not sure who Ken is. Curtis, your one-liners suck.
Or the morning show before that.
Next, you hear from Jerry, who says, but.
We have many arrangements for that, Lumpy.
And you definitely hate one of them.
That is Ken Laird.
At least.
Yeah.
It's the Ken and Curtis Show.
Ken and Curtis aren't adults.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Good weekend.
Curtis has evolved from those cuts, even though Guerrero says Belichick never did. It's never evolved. Never evolved. What a lame quote that was this week. You sold your tickets. You and your dad's tickets, right?
Yeah. I don't even think they have yet to sell, actually.
Oh, really? Wow. So you might go to the game Sunday night.
Oh, I'm not going to be going. No way I'm going to the game.
Which first of all, is amazing in and of itself. You have built this game up as much as anybody in the market. The Brady game. The return. Biggest sporting event in New England sports history at one point, you declared.
Correct.
You don't want to be there.
I have been privileged in many aspects of my life. I have been at the Snow Bowl, all the ALCS games through the whole 90s, 2000s, all that. World Series, great. ALCS Game 7, or Game 7, Shane Victorino, was that Game 6? Grand Slam against the Tigers. Great night. Everything's going to be all right, whatever that song was. I loved it. In my current life, I do not enjoy night or basically going to games because people are hambone. They're screaming.
They're not hambone at the 1 o'clock games.
They aren't. It's totally different at Gillette Stadium at night versus a 1 o'clock game. But even then, I love watching in my living room for what we do for our living. It's much easier to prepare, watch, hear things.
But this is your boy. You could go in the Brady pajamas this week, Sunday night. You could be up there. Could be gloating.
Would you invite strangers into your living room to watch a game?
That's what it is. You are afraid of getting your ass beat by like cheering for Tom when you're in the stadium.
Well, I mean, you can remove cheering for Tom. Every time I walk outside, I think somebody's going to kick my ass, but it's not that hard. I just much prefer. Time is of the essence in life.
And your dad, a great Boston sports fan, wants to put the tickets on the market, trying to sell them. They won't sell.
It is a conundrum. So
why? Why is the interest level in this game down? I want to ask this to the listening audience, too. Have you sold your tickets? Have you tried to sell your tickets? Have you tried to buy tickets and found it easy? Do you care about this game? Has it been built up too much by the media? 617-779-7937. But what do you think about that? What's the cause of this?
The cause is the Super Bowl last year from Tom, the fact that was a massive indictment on the Patriots. And the fact that this team, the two teams this year, the Patriots look like they have a future. They have their quarterback, and that's all they really need this year. But when it comes to on-the-field performing a week from Sunday, I believe if you asked Patriots fans, they would say, I don't think we have much of a shot. It's not worth the investment to get here and have the potential to watch Brady run up and down the field, flipping the bird at Belichick.
So they're not as spoiled as you, because few could be, but they're spoiled enough based on the success of the teams that the standards are so high here. You have to be perceived as a legitimate title contender to go the extra mile to pay some of these exorbitant prices.
To be a Patriots fan in the last 20 years, and this is not saying there weren't Patriots fans before that. I believe in my life, when Parcells was hired, I was 8, and that was the year we got tickets, and that was, you know, we were Patriots people from that point on. And I think there's a lot of people that came on maybe in 2000, 2001, 2004, 2014, and there isn't this same patience or understanding regarding the difficulties that present themselves for most NFL teams, that almost every team in the history of the sport, I guess, by nature, since he's the greatest, there's been no other team with a Tom Brady except for the Bucs this year. And I think that Patriots fans are not fair weather. I just think that they watch the team. There is a massive investment. People, it's the most read thing on our website. It's the most talked about thing in town.
Yep.
There is more interest in the Patriots than the other three teams combined. But what I would say is that people, in their investment, you talk with your pocketbook, I believe that there is not that investment in this Patriots team.
I also do think, you know, Brady fatigue, I think, is part of it in a way. But there's nothing at the stadium that night. It'll be electric, right? There'll still be a buzz.
Right.
But there's not a ceremony. There's not a banner-raising ceremony. There's nothing that's going to happen there that you can't still be as caught up in watching on TV. Because I don't think Bill is going to do anything.
Oh, but there's
Bill is not going to wreck. I mean, there'll be more coverage of it from the TV side of it than actually in the stadium in Foxborough.
I mean, the night that ended Brady's career in New England, that was the last game I've been to. That was a wild card game in 2019. And that night, there were building moments of Brady chance. It was this really weird, hazy, sort of drizzly night, not too cold. And I think had Brady had a old-school Brady performance, that would have been a great organic night for Tom Brady. And there's the chance a week from tomorrow that Brady plays well, it's decided, you know, it's like 28 or 35-21 in the fourth quarter, and the stadium, you know, begins a Brady chant.
Oh,
I don't think that
God,
that's...
That would crush Belichick.
Oh, there's definitely the potential for that. Absolutely.
But I don't see that happening. I mean, so Brady takes over the stadium again. Oh. The fans turn his way and give him a thumbs up.
He's going to be the all-time leading passer in the history of the sport that night.
Yeah, that's the one thing. When that happens, if they put that on the Jumbotron, he'll get an ovation for that, which he should. But I don't think...
Wow, how magnanimous of you, Ken.
I know, but I don't think Bill's going to do that. Bill does not want to...
Ooh, what if Bill quits when Kraft puts a video montage together celebrating Brady's accomplishment?
But Bill is all about the team, right? He's not about individual accomplishments.
And Brian Belichick takes over.
They're not going to honor Gronk during the game. You don't think that's going to happen, right?
Give me a better tight end in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful.
You think at their peak there's a better tight end?
Gonzalez has better numbers, right?
Okay. At their peak, there was nobody more unstoppable and unique than Rob Gronkowski.
Okay, but that's
he's the Pedro Martinez of tight ends.
That's a different argument than best career as a tight end.
Okay. In here, he was a cult hero. At times, maybe even more popular than Tom Brady.
Yeah, but you saw the poll question this week. 54% said they should not honor Gronk.
I would ask those people that voted in that poll where you work, if you were initially tried to be kicked out of your job and uprooted by your family, by the company, would you not have disdain for that company? And if you were the very best at what you did and that still happened, wouldn't you just say, F you, I'm done? I mean, that's common sense. They tried to trade Gronk to Detroit.
I know.
The Siberia of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little strange.
So wouldn't
to
you hate Bill if you were Gronk? Like, just being honest.
Yeah, I don't blame Gronk,
So then what's the problem? So he was traded.
Yeah. Well,
he was the best at what he did. If not for his retirement,
it was a package deal. It was a calculated plan.
If not for his retirement, he would have been a Detroit Lion, threatening to retire. That's what got him the vroom press conference.
Yes, correct.
So if you're Gronk, don't you hate the guy like poison? You have more than almost any Patriot in NFL history. You have given up your body for that guy to win championships.
When have I ever ripped Gronk? I don't think Gronk deserves the hate that he gets, but he gets it.
You said he should get more hate than Brady.
When did I say that?
Multiple times.
No, I never said that.
Yeah, you said, I don't get why Gronk gets a pass here. He sat out.
You're thinking of somebody else, because I am the one that defends him because Bill tried to trade him. That was a definite thing.
Oh, good point from the 7-4.
Vroom, really good.
7-4, good point. Hernandez was a killer tight end.
Oh, too soon. Still too soon. Steven and North Conway on Brady and Belichick.
Ooh, Joe Hesketh. I loved him.
Let's see. What's up, Steven?
Okay, boys. Here's the deal.
This is a crazy Bill guy.
Oh,
yeah. All right. Curtis, I'll get to you in a moment.
You were so wrong last year, Steve. Holy cow. Man, what a L you took.
Let me get my points across to you because, you know, with all due respect, Curtis, I have a son that's your age. And for the past 20 years, You guys have won 12 championships between all the major sports teams. So you have to understand one thing. As a 30 and a guy that's in his 30s, you think you have all the answers. And, you know, that's totally unfair and inaccurate. And let me tell you something. You keep – and I'm going to get on Belichick and why I think that he's right about this.
You so because you have a son that's my age, what does that have to do with anything?
Because you guys have a mindset that everything that you guys think today, the young kids today, they have all the answers. I want to move on to that.
Thought you were wrong when you were in your 30s?
No, I did not. I respected other people and their opinion. I had my opinion, but I didn't voice them as much as you guys do.
Well, that's kind of my job, and you clearly don't respect my opinion. So, I mean, what's the problem?
Let me explain to you, because it's wrong. Here's the point on what you keep saying. You keep saying that Tom Brady, and he was the greatest quarterback that I've ever seen. But don't ever say that Tom Brady is the greatest champion in all of professional sports. Tell that to Bill Russell's face, who won 11 out of 13 titles. And let me move on to Brady.
He was great against the Wichita Broomkeepers.
Yeah, okay. And you're another one that keeps thinking he played against 6'6 centers. He played against arguably the greatest basketball player of all time, Wilt Chamberlain. He
Dana Barrows for me.
Bob Lanier. He played against Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor. And he played those guys not twice a year.
What does this
like
have to do
now.
With anything?
Because you're wrong in that. Let me talk about Brady and Belichick. Belichick comes from a military family. You don't have a sergeant telling a general what to do.
Does the military family, Stephen, tell you how to film sidelines plays on the other team?
Oh, that's low, Curtis.
What about deflating the football? You want to get into that? Just filming the sidelines.
What does that have to do with being a military family? I don't even understand it.
Because he runs a very strict. Listen. Hey, let me ask you a question. Okay. What do you think Ty Law, Teddy Bruschi, and all these older guys think of? They're saying, oh, what are we, chop liver here? It's all about Brady. We had an influence on that, too. Those defensive teams in the early years were the reason they won. And Brady became a diva the last 10 years. And you know what? The Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, he really struggled last year, Steve. Man, I don't know how he kept winning. He's such a diva.
Why do you keep cutting Steven off? God, let him finish his point. Go ahead, Steve.
Drew Bledsoe put out a full-page ad in a Boston Globe thanking the New England fans.
Yeah, it was intercepted.
And it was what?
Intercepted.
It was intercepted. That was pretty funny. You know what? His wife wanted out of here. That's the problem. His wife never did anything. He did his things for charity. His wife did nothing. She didn't want to stay here.
You could be right. You could be right, Stephen. That's a good call. It's a good passion and a good call. Speaking of the...
What was the point? His son is my age.
You're spoiled. You don't appreciate Belichick and what he's done.
So he was spoiled. He watched Bill Russell win 11 times against the, Fullerton Flyers.
Somehow you brought up Spygate in there.
Yeah.
And Deflategate, there is a report that Deflategate is a part of the Wickersham book. Did you hear that as well?
Well, that it's that they didn't have his back and that they continue not to have his back.
But I think there's something further in this book that the Patriots are throwing Brady further under the bus for Deflategate. They had no part in it. It was all Tom. That there's some degree of reporting that they basically blame him. And I mean,
this is going to be the greatest book. This is going to be the greatest book of all time. I cannot wait for it.
I hope there's something good in there. 617-779-7937. What the hell were we talking about?
I don't know.
The tickets for this game.
Oh, right.
So, we might get the Ace Ticket guy on later in the show to give us the scoop on what's going on with the prices on this game, because there is a lot to it. Maybe as the week gets here, prices will jack back up again. You think that's a possibility?
There's a chance.
There's been enough drama here now this last week. Brady's done a good job of building this game up.
I think that the rating is not going to change. It's going to do record-setting numbers in Boston. It will be the highest-rated regular season football game. My guess is it's higher than the Week 17 against the Giants in 07. It may not be, but it'll be one or two.
Does tomorrow affect that at all? If the Patriots somehow lose to the Saints and are 1-2, that changes everything. They cannot lose this game tomorrow.
I don't think that this is going to change the ratings. I do think that will change the ticket price. If the Patriots lose at home tomorrow, you might see the bottom fall out of those tickets. I really believe that.
I agree.
It already requires a massive investment to get people to go to a Sunday night game at home. Would you agree?
I'm just looking at these texts rolling in. Curtis, you proved this point. You're a millennial douche. Let callers talk instead of commenting. You're a joke. I agree. Go ahead. What was your question?
Was there irony in that when I wasn't talking? Steve called in to tell me that I was wrong when he called in all last year saying that Brady was going to fall on his face in Tampa.
I don't remember that.
Anyway, I believe that the ticket price will fall out from the floor will fall out from under it, I believe,
well,
if they lose tomorrow.
Okay, so let's focus on tomorrow for a little bit here, because I know we're going to get caught up in Brady. By the way, Belichick was asked yesterday again about things that the henchman had said, and like McCourty, he pushed that off to Monday. Here's what Bill said at his press conference yesterday.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. I know there's a lot of interest for obvious reasons in next week's game, but we're focused on the Saints here, and on Monday we'll get to next week.
So Bill has talked about it enough. He hasn't gotten pissy about it. He answered the Brady 50 question with us this week. What do you Monday morning on the Greg Hill Show, when Bill joins us, 6:30, there'll be some reaction to the game, and then, of course, Greg and Wiggy and Courtney are going to ask him about Brady week. Will he talk about it? What's he going to say?
I think he'll cite his statement that they released, the organized team response when Brady released his Instagram post, and then the Patriots had their Kraft Belichick statements.
Yep.
That whatever he said in there, you know, the best, he's an icon. I think he said icon or legend. He'll say, you know, legendary quarterback. You know, nobody's accomplished what he's accomplished in this game. It's going to be a real challenge for us.
And that's what Bill does every week with every quarterback. He gushes about the opposing quarterback and the opposing team, and he builds them up. So I agree with you. I think he'll do that.
Absolutely.
But he'll be asked at some point, what are you going to do during the game to honor him, and what will he say to that? I think he'll say, like, I don't deal with that. He's going to push that off on the crowd.
No, I think what he's going to say is, Tom and the Bucks are such a handful. I can't waste my time thinking about
That's good. That's a good one. Yeah, but, I mean, so I think Bill will talk about it a little bit. Brady is not going to say anything. Everything that's juicy has been said already. I think, actually, it's setting up to be a little bit of a dull week.
What I would recommend, if I were in charge, Stacey James does a great job with the Patriots, is I would get Bill with a national, you name it, I don't know, Armin Katayan, like he did in 07.
Charlie Casserly.
That would not happen. Steve in North Conway can interview Bill. And they can sit down and talk, and he can wax poetic about Tom's time here. You know, it's been, you know, obviously it was the thrill of my coaching career to be a part of those teams with Tom, and get all the big commentary out there, so then when he's asked with us or asked by the media on Wednesday and Friday, he can just reflect back, yeah, you know, I've said all I can say about that. You know, great player. He's going to require our full attention this week.
So he'll take the high road.
Yeah.
Brady has already taken the low road, so there's no saving that. But in terms of, like, on mic, he'll say nothing. And then the real drama will be, I guess, during the game, whether they shake hands or what's done to honor him passing the passing record or things of that nature. They should have, Texter said this, they should have saved Edelman for that week. How good would that have been? Honor Edelman in halftime of the Brady game. Totally
didn't
TB12 and Gronk.
Didn't you spend this entire week calling it Brady Tom Petty? Yet you want the Patriots to do that. You want them to be petty, because that would be awesome. But when Brady does it, it sucks.
but he started it.
You want
he
back?
Started it, so you got to go.
Oh, he started it. Oh, I'm
yeah,
sure that
he
works
did.
I'm sure that works with Maya.
Foxborough forever.
I mean, the it is going to be. I am just so fascinated. My money would be that Seth Wickersham drops another couple nuggets this week.
I don't know. He's embargoed or something, because he says nothing good.
He just on Friday he tweeted out a paragraph.
Yeah, but I think that's already had that already been out.
Do you think he released it because it was already out?
I think he said it was already out.
Ken, take yourself out of this bubble, in the other 49 states or outside of New England, the other 44 states. Do you think that was well known?
Wickersham said this from 2018 and more coming in 2 weeks. Okay, so this has never been out? I thought this was, you know what this is? This is the Ninkovich thing. Ninkovich had told this to Greg. Here's the clip from the Wickersham book. Brady is less fine with it this year. See, it's written in the first person. Like this came out in 2018. I don't know. Anyway, people close to him believe it started after the playoff win over the Houston Texans, in which Brady completed only 18 of 38 passes and threw two picks. Belichick lit into him in front of the entire team in a way nobody had ever seen, ripping Brady for carelessness with the ball. "This will get us beat," he told the team after replaying a Brady interception. "We were lucky to get away with a win." That's just embarrassing for Brady, if that's where it began.
Okay, so I didn't know that. I follow this, I think, more closely than anything I've ever studied in my life.
Okay, so that's a nugget from the Wickersham book.
Yes. So my point is, on Twitter,
yep,
if Wickersham is smart, there's never going to be more buzz
Yeah.
And according to both sides, I've seen this reporting both from the guy on ESPN, Jeff Darlington, and from the Belichick camp, that there was a agreed-upon date that this would be released following the game between the two sides this year.
Why would they agree to that?
Because they gave much more information. They will never face each other again, they think. So, but if I'm Wickersham, there is a couple things I would drop this week that you're never going to have a bigger audience for this story, ever.
I know.
So why wouldn't you take advantage of that?
Maybe we should have got Wickersham on today. I kind of said he's not going to say anything. Don't get him on.
Oh, you booked Steve.
Bad instinct by me. I booked Steve. But we do have on the show Dante Scarnecchia at noon. I think he'll have some insights to Brady week for sure. All right, 617-779-7937. I do want to talk about the Saints game. No Brady talk for just a little bit next.
Ooh.
Okay?
I want to do the defensive line next.
Yes, Curtis will break down the D-line.
1023.
And here's what's trending now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to, and we're sorry, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Well, I think Mac Jones would be. I mean, I think everybody sees that, and he's in the perfect offense. But again, you have to remember that Jacksonville's starting over, the Jets are starting over. Trey Lance is sitting on the bench just waiting for Jimmy Garoppolo to go down eventually. So I think in the situation that these quarterbacks find themselves in, Mac is in the best situation for a young quarterback to be supported by his team. And I think the way that they're handling Mac and what Mac is doing on the field is really a testament to the coaching staff.
Nice job, Nick, getting away from Tom Petty and getting back to Mac. Back to Mac, who's been outstanding through 2 weeks, in my opinion. Not so for Wiggy. Wiggy is less than thrilled. Problem with Wiggy, and taking him seriously on this analysis right now, he's known as such a Cam guy, and he was such a Justin Fields guy during the draft lead-up, that now you feel like it's coming from a place of personal
animus.
If not animus or hate, but just like skepticism.
Is he scared of the end zone?
Yeah, is Mac scared of the end zone? And he believes, Wiggy believes, that if Cam Newton had stuck, they'd be 2-0 right now, which he may have a point there. I mean, because they ran Harris into the ground in week one. He wasn't ready for that workload, and he fumbled.
If I'm being fair, and Cam Newton is the quarterback of these 2 weeks, and it's the exact same stats, I would be sitting here saying, let's see what we got in Mac. You're not going to beat Brady with this offense. You're not going to beat whatever. You're not going to make the playoffs if the offense remains as stagnant as this.
But he wouldn't have these kind of stats. Right. You would agree. He'd have a ton more rushing carries and maybe a couple rushing touchdowns, and the passing would still be the same.
But I don't believe, Wiggy at times will say things because he's Wiggy and we love him and he just says crazy things. But I think this is based in his true feelings on the subject, and that he believes that we're giving Mac a pass just because he's not Cam and he hasn't thrown an interception. Mm-hmm. When in the first 2 weeks of Cam last year, he didn't throw an interception. But I have been incredibly impressed with Mac Jones in terms of his touch on deep balls. That wheel route that James White does up the sideline, mm-hmm. and it's just perfectly placed in his breadbasket. I mean, he's been impressive. I do think, though, they need to start being a little bit more aggressive. The red zone issues aren't just a Mac Jones problem. That was a Cam Newton problem at times, and it was definitely a Tom Brady problem. At the end of 2019, they lost the wild card game here because they couldn't do any. How many times they get to the 5-1 yard line against the Titans?
Wow, whoa, is this Brady criticism?
Well, it's McDaniels' offense in that game. It failed.
Oh, I see. So you're setting this up as McDaniels' fault. I got you. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it was a poor game plan. Did you watch the Titans wild card game?
I did. Brady threw an intentional pick to end the game. It was sad.
Right. Okay.
It was a terrible end.
Terrible end. Yeah. How'd last year end? The final play of last year.
Last year was a joke, and everybody knows it. Coast to coast, it was a joke.
Oh, it was a joke.
Matt Light said asterisk season.
Oh, because Matt Light says it. Okay. What does Ndamukong Suh say?
I haven't talked to him. He's not a former Patriot legend.
A guy that
Matt Light's got some cred.
You literally mock Matt Light, call him a buffoon every day.
We love each other. He loves me. But no, I mean, just in terms of what Mac's done so far, what did you expect? As a rookie, he has been amazing. Amazing. And you had Boomer there.
Say amazing?
Yes.
I would not say amazing.
I would.
Amazing is one touchdown in 2 weeks?
15th overall pick in the draft. Picks up the offense that Cam couldn't last year in a whole season. And some say a year and a half. He still couldn't pick it up.
What's the purpose of knowing the offense?
He was teaching Cam the playbook. Bill's offense is take care of the football. McDaniel's offense. Don't turn it over. And that's what he's done. And they won a game, and they lost one that wasn't his fault. It was Damian Harris's fault.
This is why we get Wiggy to make the comments that he does, because you overstep it. You say amazing.
His passer rating is 96.7. He's a middle-tier quarterback in the league already through two games. His passer rating is better than Justin Herbert, who's thrown three picks.
Okay. That is amazing.
Who would you rather have as your quarterback on Sunday, Justin Herbert or Mac Jones?
This Sunday, probably Mac. Jeez. He takes care of the football.
Let's get Stephen North Conway to finish up.
You don't need Herbert to beat the Saints. You need Mac being careful again to beat the Saints. That's what you need.
Who's the better quarterback right now, Herbert or Mac Jones?
I don't know, to be honest. Okay. Right now, stats say it's Mac.
Okay. I disagree completely with that.
I mean, I like Herbert, but that's the gold standard.
You think that they could trade Mac Jones for Justin Herbert right now?
That's not what I said.
Well, if he's a better quarterback, the Chargers would be silly not to.
I'd rather have Herbert to beat the Bucs because I think they're going to need a little more top-end offense. You make a good point there. But in terms of just beating these teams you're supposed to beat, just manage the game. Take care of the football.
They could be saying that about Justin Herbert.
God. I'd take Herbert personally. You could trade Mac for Hubert.
They could get him for nothing.
Now, here's, let me flip it the other way. Boomer says redraft, Mac goes first. You disagree with that? The Saints were the one team, they're playing the Saints this weekend, that tried to trade up to get this guy. So Sean Payton liked him too. Now, they were picking 28th, and they wouldn't give up what it takes to go up ahead of the Patriots and get, probably multiple first-round picks. But in hindsight, shouldn't they have done it? They're stuck with Winston and Taysom Hill. If they had Mac Jones, I'm sure the Saints would be pretty happy right now.
I would much rather have I don't think I would take Mac over Trevor Lawrence at 15 or for the same value point. But I believe that right now the best grade in the first round is for Bill Belichick, an A+ for the Mac pick, because he's at least as good as the other guys so far. But his ability to mentally understand and prepare and pick up the offense, which, as you alluded to, is incredibly difficult to do. So no ripping for me on Bill on Mac. That looks like a clear home run.
And Wiggy's not going to like this, but the Saints have only allowed 6 plays of 20-plus yards on the year. The one thing their defense does well, hang with me now, a little football knowledge, they're allowing the short stuff. So Mac is going to be taking short stuff again. That's the game plan to beat the Saints tomorrow. They're not giving up the big play. You're not going to attack Lattimore. The Saints don't have a ton of pressures. They don't have a ton of sacks. You're going to have time in the pocket to pick them apart, go through progressions, and dink and dunk them up the field. That's the game tomorrow.
And I really believe that if you want to have one, bitch about the first 2 weeks, I don't think week one it's on Mac. I don't really think it's that much on Damian Harris. It was a bad fumble, obviously.
What?
Horrible play.
The whole game's on Damian Harris.
But that defense.
Well, it's partly on Bill.
You have that defense.
For trading Sony Michelle.
Okay. But my point is that the defense should have old school Patriots teams. Not even that old school. Basic level Belichick teams. They get the ball back for their offense after a big, big mistake like that. And they just allowed Tua, who sucks right now.
Yeah, you're
to
right.
Just like
you're
go
right.
through them like a knife through butter.
Mostly
like
it was Jalen Mills. Jalen Mills gave up the 13-yard pass to Parker, and that was it. That was the ball game.
But it was almost like that fumble, and the team was like, we lost.
Yep.
Which, any other year, if that's...
Well, you heard Hightower say this week, like, he's still getting it back. I do think him being off for the COVID year, he's not where he needs to be. Judon was hurt a little bit last week. It's excuse making, but they're not. The defense will get better, and Gilmore's a big missing piece.
I think we thought it was going to be a huge asset for the team that has yet to reveal itself thus far.
But the defense should have been the star week one. That interception from Jones before the fumble, the sack from Judon, Uche and Judon, that should have been the signature play of the game. Jonathan Jones picked. They're in position to win the game, and
now Uche's popping up on the injury report. He wasn't that active in the Jets game. It seems, it's weird. Maybe it's just early year. Belichick just trying out a bunch of different things.
All right. But anyway, bottom line is I expect a win and an easy one, fairly easy tomorrow. Saints offense is terrible. Eddie is in New Hampshire on the Pats. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Well, as far as the Pats with New Orleans, I think they're going to push the ball a little bit longer, maybe 5, 6, 7 yards. So those.
Okay.
Good call.
Go to Kevin and Quincy. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How are you?
Good. I really hope the Patriots take the high road and really give Brady his just due with some kind of, you know, 2-minute tribute, you know, in between quarters, before the game, something like that. I mean, look what the Red Sox did for Nomar and Pedro. You know, you would have thought they had won 20 championships. They have a combined 1 World Series between the two of them. I mean, this guy won 6 Super Bowls here. Like, I don't care what you do with Gronk, but you gotta give this guy, give it for the fans.
So first time out, 2-minute tribute.
Oh, that is a good point by Kevin. Think about the Celtics. They do it for like Dino Raja comes back and they like stop the game a half hour.
Kelly Olynyk got one.
I don't think Belichick should
model.
Did
we really do that for Kelly Olynyk?
Kelly Olynyk got a tribute video.
What? Kelly Olynyk? He was the reason Durant didn't sign here when they went down to his house in the Long Island.
It's possible. Kraft would probably push for that. So what would you do? You would do first timeout, first TV timeout, Gronk, second TV timeout, Brady?
More deserving of a video tribute.
Antonio Brown.
No. Kelly Olynyk or Tom Brady.
I think Olynyk was pretty good.
That is so embarrassing.
By the way, did you see that? There was this stupid graphic about, I don't know which site published it, like who's the most hated player in all the 50 states or something
that. Brady got 36, I think.
He got 36 of the 50 states, and Antonio Brown was supposedly the most hated in New England, all 6 New England states. Does anybody care about Antonio Brown anymore?
I mean, I guess if we're really that sort of layered and nuanced, that people may blame the fact that he couldn't figure out his off-field things, which is why he was cut and then Brady left. But that seems to be somewhat of a leap.
All right, Dante Scarnecchia, Ed Noon. It's Kenny Curtis here on WEI. Up next, the best clip from Ty Law this week, which got a lot of buzz. Ty Tuesdays have become a phenomenon.
Absolutely excellent.
His response to Peyton Manning, and that Manning cast is pretty good ratings, right? People are actually watching that. I mean, relatively speaking.
Relatively speaking. I mean, it got about as many viewers as College Game Day. So I don't hear a lot of people on this local radio station talking about College Game Day. But for some reason, the Manning cast was like topic du jour constantly. But it was pretty interesting. Gronk's comments and all that.
Red Sox Pats, and we'll get a little of that Ty Law comment in coming up next.
Now back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
For the Red Sox. Red Sox start again today. It'll be 4:10, your first pitch on the Shaws and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Quick factoid from the Red Sox notes before we get back to the Ty Law thing. Red Sox today entered with the largest increase in win percentage from last year. Obviously, a terrible year. 426 win percentage.
It's up 70%.
Yeah, up to 571. I mean, they're 88-66. So the difference there, they and the Giants have been the stories of baseball this year. Doesn't quite feel like that with the August against the division teams. But if you like, this is going to be a weird year to evaluate. So as we both assume, they're not going to win the World Series. We think they'll make the playoffs. I think they still have like a 97% chance of making the postseason.
Right.
They'll get in, whether they lose in the wild card or they lose to the Rays. Either could happen. I would say probably one of those happens.
Speaking about the buy-in that we've been doing about Brady and next Sunday, I think that in order for there to be a buy-in, the Sox have to win round one, win the wild card game, and then win a couple games against Tampa.
Yeah, and then you look at it as like a success. It is based on last year because it was so bad, but then you only have a couple years left with Bogarts, Jeannie Martinez last year, Devers. You got to figure out what you're paying him. Schwarber has been good, but I don't think they're going to sign Schwarber. He can't play first, and he's like redundant. He would be. If you didn't have J.D. Martinez, you'd probably keep Schwarber, sign Schwarber. But they do have J.D. Martinez.
Honestly, I have no idea what their future is, but I believe this season, if they get into the wild card game, I think it can be easily said that they exceeded expectations.
And at least Bloom looks good. He's made some good choices. You trust the GM again.
Well, the most important thing maybe for Bloom and the franchise and the fan base was the fact that they overcame the lack of deadline movement that really clouded over the season with the COVID.
Yeah.
You had the COVID, you had the clouded season, but they did nothing for the deadline. I think that where they are today, whatever it is, September 25th, I believe that he's back on even footing at least.
Except Scherzer's going to be pitching in the World Series for the Dodgers. I have no doubt of that.
Yeah, but I honestly don't.
Unbelievable.
I don't think many Sox fans that follow it
expected them to give up everything for Scherzer.
Or that even Scherzer was wanting to come here. He wanted to go to the National
League. Well,
there
was a report he considered it, right? Was that Bowden who said that?
No, Bowden said that ownership was forcing Bloom to go after Scherzer.
Oh, yeah. Which made him wrong.
And by the way, we had a text about Dino Raja, that he's a Hall of Famer in this guy's mind. There is a book for the lost decade of the 90s. Like, with all the success we've had, I would love to do, like, an hour one day on just the 90s misery. You know, from Tony Fossus.
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know. Just, I feel like it's a decade that gets never mentioned. It's like
that
it never
like a
occurred.
Podcast. That sounds like Bar.
Ooh, Wiggy and Fourier can do that.
What's Fitzy's Bar podcast?
I don't know. It's too funny.
I don't think it ever got off the ground. He gave it a name and he never did an episode. Anyway, Ty Law has been good. That is happening every Tuesday. Ty Tuesday. So Peyton Manning threw out this cheating thing.
Yes.
On the Manning cast this week. Which, do you think he's being serious about, like, in a way?
Oh, totally.
I'm sure they were neurotic about fears about getting taped and everything else.
The absolute disdain between Polian and Belichick and that era of football was awesome. Spectacular. Those years, the back-to-back 03-04, where you have an 04, they win the divisional round, and then they were about to go to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Brewski on the field saying, you want to change the rules? Change them. We'll still kick your ass. Like, that was the peak of the early dynastic Patriots. And Polian, who to this day totally despises Bill Belichick.
So here in this clip, we play the Peyton Manning sound for Ty Law. And then Ty Law, of course, a part of two of those three of those titles, responds to it.
We played the Patriots in that second Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and they practiced at your facility all week. Were you a little nervous going back in your facility the next year that they didn't have, like, cameras in your quarterback room?
Every time I played against New England, I used to go and talk to my receivers, like, in the shower in the far corner. I'm like, don't talk about a play next to my locker because I know it's bugged. I know it's got a hot mic in there. We're in the shower. Very strange to see seven guys hanging out back there in the shower, but take all precautions out there.
You know what? You know what's even stranger about that comment is I agree with Peyton. He is extremely right. It is very strange to see seven guys in the shower. I hope they had clothes on. You know, talking about football. I mean, oh my goodness. But you know what? Peyton, he might have thought that because how we just had, man, we was in his head a little bit. Let's be honest, we was in his head a little bit, and that's okay. That's Bill Belichick, you know, scheming up things, and we had players that had the confidence. So you probably would think it's a bug in there because we kind of knew what you were doing. I ain't even gonna tell the secrets right now, but we knew what the hell he was doing. So go ahead in the shower with all your buddies.
So that made some national news this week, and.
Wow, I actually, did you catch the end of that?
Go ahead.
We knew his plays.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that's the most interesting thing of the whole bit.
I mean, so they knew what he was doing. That
yeah.
was during Spygate.
Well, yeah. I mean, how they knew them, I don't know. Maybe just from old film study.
He just proved Peyton's point.
We knew what the hell he was doing.
What? Not really.
What?
Well, it's one thing to know their plays from studying what they do, and it's another thing to have
tape
from the sidelines and practices and actual
Do you think
calls.
That Ty was saying that? I mean, he said we knew their plays.
No, I just took it as any defense would say when they're on. You can recognize somebody's plays based on their formations and what they call at the line of scrimmage, something like that.
I don't think that's what Peyton was saying, but absolutely. I think that such a huge part of the aura of the Patriots franchise, not Cam Newton's aura, was the fact that they lost before the game was played. They, you know, remember McVay and Bill in
yep.
the Super Bowl 53 mm-hmm. with the Rams?
Yep.
Like, he was just a little kid peeing down his leg talking to Bill pregame. I mean, that game was lost before it was played.
Well, you know, I was covering the Steelers at that time. Like, from their side of it, Hines Ward would say all the time, they would call out our plays when we came to the line of scrimmage. Like, so whether they actually cheated to do it or whether they did it legitimately, there's no doubt the Patriots were well-schooled. They had the book on these teams. And totally outcoached him in that sense.
I mean, the Patriots games against that era, I mean, Peyton was spectacular. At that time, he was the top of his game. And his performances against every other team, maybe minus the Ravens, it was like a different guy when he was against the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I mean, that AFC Championship game, I believe they won their first two playoff games, the Colts that year, like 49-3 and then 50. I mean, they destroyed the Chiefs and some other team. They come in, high-flying team, favored at Foxborough, and they just got, I mean, Ty Law picked him off, I think, three or four times.
3 times in the AFC title game.
It was the most unbelievable dominant performance by a Patriot on a defensive side of the ball in a playoff game that I've ever seen. Ty Law was probably the second best player of that era outside of Brady.
We were listening to the Patriots radio broadcast for the majority of the first half.
Yeah, well,
and Ty Law's whole demeanor, like, he still acts like he's on a foot. Like, he is so confident. He is so sure of himself. He's hilarious.
He has V1 vodka every time we have him on.
He gets lubed up.
He went to the Big E with Governor Baker this week.
Wild scene. Has there been?
We kind of knew what you were doing. I ain't even going to tell the secrets right now, but we knew what the hell he was doing.
Yeah, he was taking a pee.
All right, 617-779-7937. Most to lose, most to gain. We do that every week. That's become a huge feature of the Ken and Curtis Show. People tune in for that.
So and an hour away from the great Dante Scarnecchia.
I know, and he's legitimately in Hawaii and agreed to come on.
Yeah.
What a good dude.
Yeah.
I mean, would you do that?
No. Maui's a very nice place to be.
You were there for, is he living there now or just on vacation?
No, he said he's visiting friends, but he said he'd be happy to call. Just give me the number and the time.
Awesome. All right, we'll do that at noon. It's Ken and Curtis.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.